This evening I have a mind to preach some to you, the Lord willing, from an expression that the Apostle Peter gives us in his first epistle that he wrote, 1 Peter chapter 2 and beginning in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and malice is ill will, spite. And the apostle is saying we're to lay aside all malice and all guile, which is deceit, and lay aside all hypocrisies, that's play acting, pretending to be something we're not, and envies, envying what other people have, and all evil speakings. We're to lay all that aside. And beloved, all of us have all of these things in our fallen, sinful nature. It's there, and we don't want to cultivate it and use it, but we're to lay it aside. Just be done with it. And I think the Apostle Peter could speak from his own experience, because when we read about him stumbling through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he struggled with a lot of this. He certainly had anger at times. We know he spoke evil. He used profanity. He was a hypocrite at times. But he was growing. And you see him growing as you get into the Acts of the Apostles. He became a giant of the Christian faith. So he says in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So the Apostle Peter is not telling us how to get born again, but he's saying if we have been born of the Holy Spirit and given a new nature, as newborn babes, we are to desire something. And what is it that we are to desire? The sincere milk of the Word. And the milk of the Word would be the Holy Scriptures. We're to have a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. We don't want to remain babes in Christ, but we want to grow. We want to mature. And the Apostle Paul talks about this some in his letter to the Hebrews. And I'd like to call your attention now to Hebrews chapter 5, where the apostle would say, beginning in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 5, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Paul is not going to say much about Melchizedek. He's kind of a mysterious person in the Old Testament. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Sadly, the Apostle Paul could not enlarge on this subject of Melchizedek because the Hebrews were dull of hearing. They were not tuned in. They didn't have the ability to hear and understand. Verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the Apostle Paul here is talking about two different groups of disciples, children of God. He's not trying to make them children of God, but he's wanting them to grow up. He's wanting them to mature and become useful in the Word of God. And we might maybe distinguish these two groups as milk disciples and meat disciples. Babies need milk. They love milk. They desire milk. And as they enjoy the milk and receive the milk, it helps them to grow and develop so that they don't remain babes. And the apostle is saying some of these Hebrews, a lot of these Hebrews, have remained so out of touch with the scriptures that they're dull of hearing. And the apostle would like to take them deeper into the Word of God and tell them more about Melchizedek. But he says, of whom we have many things to say. How many of y'all wish he'd have told us a lot more about Melchizedek? That would have been wonderful, wouldn't it, right here in Scripture? I don't know that I would have been mature enough to receive it either, but it would have been wonderful if Paul had gone on and expounded more on Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. When for the time you ought to be teachers. In other words, Paul is saying, these Hebrews I'm writing to have been exposed to the gospel long enough, they ought to be able to teach others also. They ought to actually be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with their family, their neighbors, their friends, people they work with. They ought to be able to explain it to others, to teach it to others. Now, they've been exposed to it a long time. They're not newcomers to the faith. When for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, beloved, that's sad. That's a sad indictment the apostle makes against these Hebrew Christians. He's saying, y'all ought to be able to teach it. Y'all have heard it enough. You've been around it enough. You ought to be able to teach it to others. And yet, you all need to hear again the first principles of the oracles of God. That would be like somebody being in school for 3 or 4 years and they still don't know their ABCs. Now that would be sad, wouldn't it? I was not a very good student in my early years in school, and Miss Clara Porter saw that and she held me back during the second grade. And I've always said she liked me so much, she just wanted to keep me around. But nobody believes that, including me. She just saw that I was not growing in my understanding. And so she held me back. And that was one of the best things that she could have ever done for me. Because if she just sent me on to the third grade, I wouldn't have been really ready for the third grade. I needed to review those ABCs again and get them in my mind well. Now, Paul is saying to these Hebrew Christians, y'all have been around the gospel enough, you ought to be able to teach it to others. But you're just babes in Christ. Y'all are still on milk and not on meat. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, how can we know if somebody is still a babe in Christ and they're not growing spiritually, they're not developing in their walk with God? Well, watch verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. That word unskillful is an interesting word. What I believe Paul is saying about these Hebrews is they don't know how to use the Word of God to deal with life's problems. And beloved, I guess we could ask ourselves, when we're dealing with life's problems, where do we go for advice? Where do we go for counsel? Where do we go for guidance? Do we go to our friends? Do we go to our family? Maybe we go to somebody at work, or maybe we Google it, when really we would probably be a lot better off if we went to the Word of God and used the Word of God to help us deal with life's challenges and life's problems. After all, that's why God gave us the Holy Scriptures. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Last weekend, we had a very good meeting and a lot of good sermons. And hopefully, we not only heard those sermons, but we internalized them. See, to internalize something means that it actually becomes a part of your mindset. It becomes a part of the way you look at life. God's Word begins to help you see this world from God's standpoint. And beloved, I tell you a good thing, I think, for all of us, is to read the Word of God out loud. Just speak it out loud when you're sitting in your home and just looking at some portion of Scripture, and just read it out loud. And it helps to become a part of our mind, our thought patterns. But these people, Paul says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And if you bring up a scripture to somebody like that, they'll say, now look, don't preach to me. I've had my daughter say that to me. Daddy, don't preach to me. Well, you know, beloved, of course, I've told them that's what I am, a preacher. But they got past that. They, thank God, today they love the Word of God and will receive it. But people that are unskillful in the Word of God really don't want you quoting Scripture. And they don't want the Word of God to get on their case. But now, watch verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, using what? The Word of God. We need to use the Word of God. It needs to be a part of our vocabulary. We need to speak the Word of God. We just need to have a working knowledge of Holy Scripture. Wouldn't that be wonderful if all of God's children in America was going to the Word of God and having a working knowledge of the Scriptures in our minds? But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, the ability to discern between good and evil is going to probably be determined by how much we know about the Word of God. The Word of God will help us to discern between good and evil. Let me tell you, beloved, a child of God in this life can end up with a reprobate mind. God, in Romans chapter 1, Paul says that these people who have ignored God's way and God's word, God just turned them over to a reprobate mind. Now, what is a reprobate mind? A reprobate mind is a mind that cannot discern between good and evil. And we don't want that. We want a mind that can discern the will of God in this life. Listen, beloved, a mind that cannot see the evil of abortion. That's a mind that's been, it's turned over to reprobation. Listen, we know the unborn child is just as much a human being as we all are. How many of y'all know that tonight? And to take that little unborn baby's life is evil beyond words. And yet for a nation like America, who has been favored of God in so many ways since our Constitution, to legalize abortion, to say that it's just a medical procedure, that's darkness. That's not being able to discern between good and evil. For a nation to legalize homosexual marriages, marrying a man with a man or a woman with a woman, what would you call that? That's darkness. That's not being able to discern between good and evil. Now, we don't want to go out here in the world and just run people down and, you know, and judge them harshly. But I want to tell you, you and I need a mind of discernment. And when the opportunity is given to us, we need to let the light shine. And you can't let the light shine if you don't have the light. And this is the light. The Bible says the Word of God is a light under our feet, a lamp under our path. And if you're not walking in the light of God's Word, you're going to be stumbling around in so many ways. Listen, beloved, there are so many things that we could bring up tonight that Americans, and unfortunately a large percentage of our population is in darkness concerning the evils of our world. And you and I need to have a working knowledge of the Word of God. We need to be skilled in what the Word of God says. And it's just a joy to sit around and visit with people who love the Word and they enjoy discussing the Word of God. Isn't that a wonderful experience? I tell you, I cherish all the hours that I spent in Elder Pat Byrd's home, because he was just always expounding the Scriptures. He knew the Word of God. He could quote the Word of God. And he was pretty good at getting on my case. I mean, he would, well, I won't get too involved in all that, but Brother Sonny Piles, if you were around Brother Sonny very long, you're going to hear the Word of God, because it was a part of his daily vocabulary. He just always was quoting Scripture. And I remember Sister Mandy Chance, Elder Josh Chance's widow, one of the sweetest, most humble women I've ever known. I named Amanda after her. She was very poor in this world's goods, but she was rich in faith. And when I would sit with her, she knew the Word of God. And she would teach me the Word of God. You know, the Bible says that Aquila and Priscilla instructed Apollos more fully in the Word of God. That's a man and his wife teaching Apollos, who was an eloquent preacher, but he needed knowledge. He needed to be instructed more fully, and they were qualified to do so. Now, the only way Aquila and Priscilla could do that is that they knew the Word of God. And Paul said that the young brother Timothy, whom he loved, Paul loved Timothy. He cherished his friendship. He wanted him to come and see him in Rome when he was in prison. He was very dear to Paul's heart. But Timothy, Paul said, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures from your youth because your mother and your grandmother taught you the Word of God. Aquila and Priscilla taught this young man the Word of God. I want to say to all the sisters in the house tonight, you ought to be talking to your kids, your grandkids. Now, if you give them too much Bible, they'll turn you off. But just in season, give them a word from God. And I can tell you what, it'll carry a lot of weight. Are y'all with me tonight? Are y'all listening? So Paul would say, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Beloved, our colleges can be a dangerous place for children who have not been rooted and grounded in the Word of God. I have two preacher friends of mine, dear friends of mine, whose sons went away to college and came back atheist. That's sad. And if they came back as atheists, you can only imagine children that have not had the opportunity to be around the Word of God. And so may the Lord help us all to love the Scriptures and to use the word of righteousness in this world, and not go to everybody else in the world for advice. Go for the counsel of God's divine word. And may we all grow in our knowledge of things that the Lord has given us in this world. People who are immature don't know how to judge things. If you had a store and you had it full of merchandise, would you send a kid in there with a lot of price tags to price everything in that store? Listen, a little kid's liable to put a $100 price on a little toy that's not worth $5, but to them it's worth a lot because of their immaturity. They might bypass a diamond that's worth thousands of dollars and go to a little doll that's not worth $10. They don't know how to value things. Well, I want to tell you, if you and I don't know the Word of God, we don't know how to value things in this world. But if we have a working knowledge of Scripture, we know the value of prayer. How many of us tonight know the value of going to God in prayer on a regular basis? It's the most valuable thing probably in our lives. How many of us know the value of a holy Bible in our homes that we can actually sit down and read, and we're actually, when we're reading the Word of God, we're reading the thoughts of God. This Bible contains God's thoughts. And we put great value on the Word of God. And we put value on church. How many of y'all value coming to the house of God, mixing and mingling with the saints of God, and encouraging one another in our Christian faith? Obviously, you all put a value on it, and I am thankful for your pleasure, your presence here on a rainy Sunday evening. But let me tell you, let's value. Let's not have the attitude, well, it's 5:30. We better get dressed and get on over there, or they'll talk about us. No, it's not a matter that we have to go to church. We get to go to church. It's not a matter that we have to pray. We get to pray. It's not a matter that we have to visit the sick. We get to visit the sick. And I want to tell you, how many of us value actually visiting the sick? You know, when COVID came along, we didn't do much of that. I remember I was reading in my diary the other day about when I was in Birmingham, and I just had to make a little tape to send out on Facebook. And I tell you, I was starving to death for the fellowship of the saints. Listen, why do we come to church? I want to notice with you all a passage that the Apostle Paul gives to the church at Colossians. And let's look at Colossians chapter 1. And I want to notice with you all a scripture that the Apostle Paul gives to the brethren at Colossae when he's talking to them. He says in chapter 1 and beginning in verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, serving, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now let's look at that passage a moment this evening. Paul says, whom we preach. Now preaching is declaring Jesus Christ. A preacher is to hold up Christ. We're to preach Christ. We don't preach the government. We don't preach sports. We don't preach anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Now, preaching is wonderful, but I want to tell you, we need teaching also. Because when we're being taught, we're going deeper in the Word of God. Preaching might feed us and get us, you know, kind of stirred up and happy in the Lord. But I want to tell you, I need to be taught. I need to go deeper into the Word of God. Don't you need to go deeper in Scripture and have a understanding of it? And that's our responsibility, Brother Wynn, to not only preach the Word, but to teach the Word and warn God's children. And you see, and we need it in a community of fellowship. Listen, if all you want is a good sermon, you can go online and there's thousands of them out there. Good sermons. And I would encourage you to listen to them. If you want good singing, I mean some of the best singing in the world is out there on the internet. And you can enjoy that. But I want to tell you one thing the internet will not give you, and that's fellowship. You and I need to be with one another, worshiping God and encouraging one another. Amen? We need that. The Apostle Peter said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. I need my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I need to be warned in the Word of Scripture. You know, warnings are a great blessing to us. You know, we have all these road signs now, and they're a good thing to have. They warn you as you're driving down the highway. They'll tell you about curves and things of that nature. And when you get up in the mountains of North Georgia, you're going to have guardrails. And those guardrails are there to let you know there's danger. Now, if you don't observe the guardrail and you go off, down the mountain, maybe an ambulance will get down there and get you. But wouldn't it be better just to observe the guardrail instead of having to call for an ambulance? God's Word is full of warnings for us. And I need them in my life, desperately need warnings in my life. And may God help all of us to love the church, to love the fellowship of the church, and to enjoy the fellowship of God's people as we live out our days on this earth. I hope the time we spend together here at Cool Springs, whether it's in an annual meeting or whether it's a Sunday night service, it's valuable and helpful, and the Word of God will feed us. And I tell you, these songs feed me. I enjoyed that song tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus. How many of y'all know He's the best friend you'll ever have in this world? And you need to get as close to Him as you can and stay there near Him at all times. Beloved friends, would you pray that God would bless this church to be a place where milk is served for the young ones and meat is served for those that have grown some in the Word of God. Would y'all pray that our church here would be a place where we can come and be strengthened in our Christian walk and remember what we've heard. I have to take notes myself when I'm listening to preaching. Last weekend, I got a whole page of notes from the sermons, and I've been reviewing them this week. I tell you, when you get my age, you just can't retain things very well. That's my excuse. But I need to retain them, and I want to retain them. When I hear a good sermon, I want to remember it, and I want it to feed my, and I want to internalize it. I want it to become a part of me. I don't want to just hear it and then, you know, it just runs off my back like water off of a duck's back. I want to feed on the Word of God. And beloved, I thank y'all for your good attention here this evening as I've endeavored to preach to you.